Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you. And I pray that as we worship together, we will have a special visit from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, that our hearts will be filled with the joy of salvation once more. A middle-aged man went in for a routine physical, feeling perfectly confident about his health. The nurse began with basics. How much do you weigh? Oh, about 185 pounds, he said casually. She put him on the scale. 255, she announced. He frowned. That scale must be broken. She ignored him. And your height? 6 feet, he replied quickly. She measured him. 5'8". Now he was starting to look uneasy. Finally, she checked his blood pressure. Her eyebrows shot up. Wow, that's very high. High, he snapped. Of course it's high. He threw up his hands and said, when I walk in here, I was tall and skinny, and in 5 minutes, you've turned me into a short, overweight man. Who was wrong? The nurse or the man? Of course the man was. He claimed to be tall and skinny, but claiming did not make him so. There is someone in the Bible like the man. Who was he? It was Jacob. He pretended to be someone he was not through deception, which shaped the course of his life. After stealing the blessing of the firstborn from his brother, he ran from home. The threat of his brother did not evaporate. As he returned home, he was so fear-stricken because he had to face the consequences of his lies. Jacob's wrestling with the messenger of God the night before he met his brother reveals a profound truth about the fundamental battle everyone faces, an inner struggle with guilt and shame. The only breakthrough from this is found in God. The name Jacob means to follow or to hold the heel. Jacob got his name simply because he was born grasping the heel of his twin brother, Esau. The fate of being a younger brother was set at his birth, though Jacob went against it. There is more to the name. Jacob also means supplanter, or someone who deceives. A supplanter intentionally takes someone else's place. As the second son, he did not have the birthright, but Jacob eventually took it through deception. Interestingly, these meanings of Jacob's name foreshadowed how his life would unfold. So let's briefly review his life. Esau was a hunter, but Jacob was a homebody, likely skilled in cooking, which was uncommon in ancient society. Why this unusual skill? There might have been a reason, suggesting that Jacob would do anything to gain an advantage over someone or something. One day, Jacob made a lentil stew when Esau returned from hunting, starving. Given Jacob's tendency to be a supplanter, cooking the stew was his calculated move to buy the birthright from Esau. Years later, when Isaac was ready to bless Esau as the firstborn, Jacob went to Isaac in disguise as Esau and received the blessing. The conversation between Isaac and Esau afterwards revealed Jacob's personality linked to his name. Isaac said to Esau, Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, Isn't he rightfully named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. Consequently, Jacob ran away from home to save his life and went to live with his uncle Laban. There Jacob reaped what he sowed. Laban deceived Jacob by giving him Leah instead of Rachel, whom Jacob loved. Jacob had to work an extra 7 years to pay a bride price for Rachel. All the drama started with Laban's deceit and Jacob's unwanted marriage to Leah. Rachel had no children, while Leah gave birth to 6 sons. Jealousy over love and motherhood caused 2 sisters' maidservants to become part of the marriage. Genesis 29 and 30 are packed with dramas that rival modern soap operas. In the end, Jacob unintentionally married 4 wives, fathered 11 sons up to that point, and later he had one more, so altogether 12, and had 1 daughter. Mormons see Joseph Smith as their founder, but Jacob might be a stronger candidate. Jacob worked for Laban for 20 years, during which Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times, but Laban's son believed Jacob stole everything from Laban. Tired of Laban's treatment, Jacob was returning home and quickly learned that his brother Esau was coming to confront and kill him with 400 men. 20 years had passed, but Esau's old wound had not healed, and Jacob knew it full well. The night before their meeting, Jacob stayed alone behind and wrestled with God's messenger. His life was at stake, and he could not let go of the angel wrestling with him until dawn. Then the angel said, Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and humans and have overcome. These words carry a very profound message and prophecy. Israel means to fight, struggle will prevail. El means God, as we know. So together, Israel means one who struggled with God. Israel later became the name of the nation. And in my opinion, Israel is a prophecy about the nation's destiny. Israel as a nation has wrestled with God and has undergone rises and falls because of it. Israel also indicates that the nation in the end will prevail, or that God will allow the nation to prevail, as seen in Jacob's wrestle. Now let us focus on the part of the angel's message to Jacob. You have struggled with God and humans. It was not only the night before Jacob's encounter with his brother, but his entire life that Jacob struggled with God and humans, all because of his sinful nature. The Bible additionally notes that when the twin boys were in their mother Rebekah's womb, they jostled. This suggests that Jacob's wrestling with God and humans began even before he was born. He had an inherent sinful nature that caused him to be deceived, and suffer the consequences of deception. The flip side of Jacob's fighting against God and humans is Jacob's fighting against himself because of his sinful nature and his sins. In other words, all his life, Jacob had struggled with his past guilt and shame deep inside. All his life, he fought this lonely fight, spiritual fight. Think about it. This deep inside, the struggle, the battle that is going on out of the shame and guilt. Do we not have the same struggle? We try to escape from our past sins and mistakes just as Jacob did. But we are never truly free from the wrongs we committed until we settle our past before God. We all need to come to God and ask for forgiveness. In His grace, God allows us to win and gives us a new name along with a new life. So in that struggle, in that wrestle of Jacob, there is a gospel message. Evangelical Press News Service carried the following article. How many of you remember the Vietnam era Pulitzer Prize winning photo of 9-year-old Phan Thi Kim Pho, naked and horribly burned, running from a napalm attack? You remember that picture? Yeah, many of you do. Like many Americans, Reverend John Plummer, minister of a Bethany United Methodist Church in Purcellville, Virginia, was moved by that picture as well. In fact, the picture haunted him. For Plummer, that picture had special significance. In 1972, he was responsible for setting up the airstrike on the village of Trang Bang, a strike approved after he was twice assured there was no civilians in that area. Plummer said that even though he knew he had done everything possible to make sure the area was clear of civilians, he experienced new pain each time he saw the picture. He wanted to tell Kim Phok how sorry he was. After becoming a Christian in 1990, Plummer felt called to the ministry and attended a seminary. In June 1996, he learned that Kim Pho was still alive and living in Toronto. The next month, he attended a military reunion and met someone who knew both Kim Pho and the photographer. Plummer learned that on that fateful day in 1972, Kim Pho and her family were hiding in a pagoda in Trang Bang when a bomb hit the building. Kim Pho and others ran into the street where they were hit by napalm being dropped from another plane. She tore up her burning clothes as she fled. Two of her cousins were killed. The photographer and other journalists poured water from canteens on her burns. She collapsed moments after that famous photo and was rushed by car to a hospital. The girl spent 14 months in hospitals and was operated on by a San Francisco plastic surgeon. Plummer learned that the Kim Pho was speaking at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. He went and heard Kim Pho say that if she ever met the pilot of that plane, she would tell him she forgives him and that they cannot change the past, but she hoped they could work together in the future. Plummer was able to get words to Kim Pho, and the man she wanted to meet was there. She saw my grief, my pain, my sorrow, Plummer wrote in an article in the Virginia Advocate. She held out her arms to me and embraced me. All I could say was, I am sorry, I am sorry, I am sorry, over and over again. At the same time, she was saying, it's all right, it's all right, I forgive, I forgive. Plummer learned that although she was raised a Buddhist, Kim Pho became a Christian in 1982. The pastor of the Methodist had a similar struggle that Jacob had struggled with, that all of us struggle with from our past and shame. And this is how we receive forgiveness from the Lord. We acknowledge our sins and ask for forgiveness. All our struggle, whatever the kind of struggle that we have, boil down to the very issue of sin and who has the power to resolve it. Do we wrestle with guilt and shame? If so, let us bring them to Jesus. We do not have the right or deserve the blessing of forgiveness, but when we honestly ask for it, as Jacob wrestled, Jesus, in his mercy, forgives us. Amen.